Four's Company, hour number two on this Saturday. Extended show today. We're with you up until 11:30 a.m. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, Jake Wallman. Four's Company is brought to you by LPL Financial Nashville and Patrick Conger. Investment advice for you in the short term and for the future. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Plenty to get to here at hour number two. We're going to talk some Titans. Cam Ward had his pro day earlier this week. We'll talk about whether the Titans have pretty much locked it in, made their decision that they're going to take the Miami quarterback at number one. And also, opening day was on Thursday. We'll dive into the MLB a little bit later on in the show. But first, our question of the day. Who is your favorite television character of all time? Plenty of great options out there. We've got some answers on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025 if you want to chime in. Let's go to our phone lines, as Trey is on the line right now. Trey, good morning. Go ahead.
Good morning, guys. How are y'all this morning?
Doing great. Well.
Hey, my favorite character is George off of Seinfeld. Seinfeld's my favorite show.
George Costanza, baby.
And here's the reason why. I was Ubering about 3 years ago, and I was at the airport, and I picked up this older gentleman. I was like, who is this guy? He started talking to me. Well, he is the composer for Seinfeld, Jonathan Wolf, and we had a nice conversation. He also did Married with Children. He's done over 250 shows, and wow. He's a resident of Kentucky.
Wow.
And he's a nice man, so I would have to say I love Seinfeld and George.
That's
and
a great answer.
Y'all have a good day.
You too, Trey. Thanks for calling. George Costanza is a good one. Seinfeld in general is just
Art Vandelay. Such a great other character inside the show. Art Vandelay. He's a builder instructor.
He's an architect.
Yeah, architect.
He's a marine biologist.
That's correct.
He is. I don't know if he used the name for the hand model.
No,
I don't think he did, but
that was another funny bit off the show. Yeah,
I haven't watched enough Seinfeld to know what you're talking about.
Connor, you would love Seinfeld.
I've seen bits and pieces. I think it's really funny, but
I've never watched it all the way through.
Yeah,
because
I haven't either.
Like there isn't a plot, right? Like there's no actual plot. It's a show about nothing, but it's hilarious.
Now, so, I think George Costanza's dad is hilarious.
It's Ben Stiller's father. Yeah,
yeah.
He's now deceased, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I believe so.
Jerry Stiller. He's on King of Queens, too.
Right.
Another great show.
King of Queens is funny.
That is a good one. Ben Stiller directing Severance. Have you guys watched that at all?
No, but I've heard such good things
about it. No spoilers out there. I have 3 episodes left. It's really good.
Yeah.
You guys should watch it.
I don't even know what it's about.
The premise of it is like they put a chip in your brain so that your consciousness is separated between your personal life and your work. So when you go to work, you have an inside person, and that person does all the work, and then the outside person, when they come up the elevator, you...
Yeah, but what now?
They call it innie and outie.
My brain was somewhere else.
I may need one of those chips to differentiate.
You should watch it. It's a very confusing show, but once you get into it, it's very entertaining. I got 3 episodes left.
How many seasons?
2.
It's 2.
Yeah, the second season just ended like a week ago.
So this is like... I look at TV shows like I compare them to like diamonds and rings and stuff like that. So this is a 14-karat gold diamond ring. That's what this is.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's not a lot of seasons, a minimal amount of episodes.
It's like 9 episodes in the first season, I think 10 in the second. So
okay.
And they're an hour. So we've been watching for about a month now, and we've gotten through almost all of it. And that's just watching when we can. So
okay.
Very good. Should watch it. Let's go to Eric on our phone lines with his answer. Eric, thanks for calling. Who is your favorite television character of all time?
Well, guys, I'm 61 years old, so a lot of my characters I grew up like during the 70s. Because if you remember, for a long time, African Americans were never shown on television. And when I grew up during the 70s, my favorite shows were the Norman Lear shows, and I'm talking about like All in the Family, The Jeffersons, and Sanford and Son. But if I had to pick one character, of course, and this kind of a controversial character, but it was hilarious to me at the time, and I get why some people didn't like his character, and that was Jimmy J.J. Walker from Good Times with the dynamite and just all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I do know that. Yeah,
Yeah. He got into it, of course, with his dad. And the show, to me, was at its best when the John Ames character was on there. But they killed him off because apparently there was a lot of tension on the set between him and the producers and the way the show was run, and him and Norman Lear and also Esther Old. They just didn't like, a lot of times they felt like that Jimmy Walker was becoming the star of the show. But it, of course, just his character was just so just goofy and all that type of stuff. And just, you know, but he was a great artist and all that type of stuff. But it was just, it was hilarious. But of course, I understand why some people felt the way they did about his character. But that was, to me, it was that particular character.
That's a great
one.
That's
a get off. Y'all take care. We'll talk again soon.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Eric. Another good answer. Again, our question of the day, who is your favorite television character of all time? On our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, Devin and Dixon says Jack Bauer in 24 was an awesome, complex character. His favorite, Kiefer Sutherland, nailed it. My parents love 24.
My dad loves 24.
I have never tried it, but that's one that I would like to watch. My dad had like the full like VCR box set of 24.
I think my dad has it too.
So that's a good one. Joey from Bellevue says Carlton Banks and Steve Urkel. Both good ones, too.
Carlton's Fresh Prince.
Yes.
That's correct.
Yeah, and then
Family
Urkel's
Matters.
Family Matters.
Family Matters.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if I've ever watched all of those all the way through, but I've definitely seen episodes of both of those. Jack in Rivergate is on our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, with an answer. Jack, thanks for calling. What you got?
Well, for me, my favorite will always be Don Johnson's portrayal of Sonny Crockett from Miami Vice.
That's a good one. I don't know if I've seen an episode or two of Miami Vice.
The all white suit.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Thanks for calling, Jack. Good answer, all around from our phone lines. Let's get to our answers here. Nick Frazier, who is your favorite TV character of all time?
I've been thinking about this and going through TV shows I've watched. I mean, it's like a 1A, 1B type situation, but Tony Soprano, James Gandolfini.
I knew you were going
great
Nani.
Sopranos.
Yeah.
I've never watched The Sopranos.
I'm into season three now, slowly watching it.
Incredible. If I had to go a 1B, I mean, Trey mentioned it. George Costanza is up there for me. I don't know if he's in the ones, though. Maybe Dwight or Michael Scott, one of the two.
Those are good ones, too.
I'm not going to steal any others, but those are the three for me.
That's solid. Connor?
I love Ron Swanson.
Great one. Yeah, that's an underrated one from Parks and Rec.
Maybe my favorite. Chandler Bing is always a good one from Friends.
Yep.
I mean, on a more serious note of serious shows, I love Coach Taylor from Friday Night Lights.
Eric Taylor,
who's awesome. I love Friday Night Lights. I'm on season three.
Tim Riggins would be another
Tim
one.
Tim Riggins is awesome. Love me some Lila Garrity, too. I mean, I'm more of a sitcom guy.
Yeah.
Like, I love to throw them on and just kind of sit back. Barney Stinson would
be
another
Stinson's
one.
Barney Stinson's another good one.
Yeah. But, I mean, if I'm getting into a serious show, I need character development. Friday Night Lights has some of the best character development I've ever seen in a show.
Yeah. Yeah. Riggins, Coach Eric Taylor, Matt Saracen's an okay character.
Yeah, he's all right. Jason Street.
Yeah, I never liked Jason Street.
I didn't either.
That much.
I thought he was kind of arrogant.
Yeah, I didn't like Jason.
I haven't gotten there yet, but I know Michael B. Jordan comes into it later.
Oh, you haven't finished it?
Mm-mm.
Oh, those last two seasons are good.
Yeah.
I
need to get back into it.
Yeah,
I just finished season two with it. It was the whole murder one.
Gotcha.
Where, what's his name?
Season two's a little bit strange.
Yeah.
But season three, four, and five are all good.
Yeah.
With Luke Cafferty coming in and
Luke Cafferty.
He plays middle linebacker and looks exactly like Luke Kuechly. It's hilarious.
Really?
His name is Luke Cafferty. Keep watching that one. For me, I've got two that come to mind immediately. Jon Snow from Game of Thrones is...
I haven't watched Game of Thrones yet either.
Incredible. You should. Jon Snow is an elite character. I think he's my number one. The other one that comes to mind, have you guys ever seen the show Psych?
I love Psych.
I've heard of that.
Sean Spencer is
is
one of my favorite characters ever. I think James Rodet, who is also a big Titans fan, actually.
Yeah.
I think James Rodet was the, like, that's a role he was born to play.
Yeah. We used to watch Psych when we were kids because it came on all the time.
Wasn't that an early 2000s TV show, right?
Yeah, that was like late 2000s. Have you ever watched Chuck Lyman?
I have seen a little bit of it. I think I tried to start it. One of my friends
you would really like
is a huge fan of Chuck.
You would really like it. It's one I have to finish, too. It's Zachary Levi when he first started. He's funny. It's a really funny show.
I might have to get into that.
It's one of my dad's favorites.
I'm juggling so many shows right now.
I am too.
White Lotus and Severance. And then I just started watching The Righteous Gemstones on HBO Max.
Oh, yes.
It's funny.
It is hilarious. I gotta start the latest season.
And then what's in? And The Sopranos. I've been trying to watch that too. So I've got a lot going on right now. But maybe Chuck is my next one.
I've been on a movie kick lately.
Really?
I have too.
Den of Thieves and Den of Thieves 2 Pantera. I've just been watching both of those. I just finished the second one yesterday. I was on the treadmill, but
I've been watching comedy movies. I watched Ted 2 the other day.
There's something about just throwing on a good old comedy movie.
My next one's Wedding Crashers. I've never seen it. One.
Oh, yeah.
Wedding Crashers is a top five movie
I've never
all
seen
time.
It.
Oh, you're going to love it.
Yeah, you'll like it.
You guys have never steered me wrong on movie recommendations. Yeah. So
gotta forget the
I
got to
rewatch the other guys.
Yeah, I do too.
Still on Netflix, I think? I think so.
Believe
probably.
So.
That's a great movie.
You think of what I'm thinking?
Aim for the bushes.
There wasn't even awning in that direction. Jake Wallman, who is your favorite television character?
I've heard a lot of good suggestions. Parks and Rec, Andy Dwyer. I don't know if that one was...
Andy Dwyer's...
I said Ron Swanson, but Andy Dwyer is great.
You sparked my thought on Andy Dwyer by saying Ron Swanson. My uncle, for a time, always referred to me as George Costanza.
Where's Bobby Hill rank on your list?
He's up there.
Number one today.
He's up there. And this morning when I was getting ready, I was watching a Facebook reel from the Seinfeld. My pick is Kramer from Seinfeld.
Yeah.
It's a great pick.
I was
Kramer.
Watching a reel where it was from the episode where the NYU reporter thinks that George and Jerry are living together. And Kramer comes in with the news article. He's like, why didn't you tell me? He's like, you're single. You're in your mid-30s. All the signs are there. And Jerry goes, well, so are you. And Kramer's reaction is just like, it's top-notch.
Seinfeld's great. Kramer's a good one. Kramer and George are both phenomenal characters.
We have invasion going on the text line right now.
Oh, from Robbie Stanley?
From Robbie Stanley.
Yep. Good morning, Connor Newt, in all caps. Good morning, Robbie Stanley.
That's exactly what I said. I said, good morning, Robert.
Yep, there you go. 615-737-1025. That was our question of the day. What's your favorite television character of all time? You can continue to chime in. We're going to move on. Talk some Titans on the other side. Cam Ward at his pro day this week. Also, apparently worked out for the Titans privately yesterday. So excited to talk about that and see if the Titans are zeroing in on their choice at number one. That's up next. You're on Force Company, 1025, 1063 The Game. Tune into Totally Hits 93.3 tonight as the Nashville Cats take on the Albany Firebirds. Pre-game starts at 4:30, kickoff at 5, with coverage also available on the Totally Hits 93.3 app and at totallyhitsnashville.com. Chase McCabe, Joe Dubin on the call as the Cats get going at 5 o'clock tonight. Excited for that one. We're going to talk NFL football here. Titans getting ready to make the number one pick in the draft in a little under a month. A little under 4 weeks away from draft night in Green Bay. And this week, Cam Ward at his pro day also had a private workout with the Titans. It seems more and more likely that he is going to be a Tennessee Titan. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, Jake Wallman with you on Forrest Company. Guys, I said about 2 months ago, St. Patrick's Day was the deadline. If the Titans were going to trade the pick. I was not on last week, so I couldn't. This is the first time I'm on since the deadline has passed. Titans haven't traded the pick. They're not going to trade the pick. Cam Ward is going to be the number one pick. I tried to lock that in for everybody 2 weeks ago. It seems like there are still some people out there who want the Titans to trade the pick. They are not trading the pick.
There's always going to be people that do that.
Like Jared,
trust me.
I was working with Jared this week, and like he spent a good amount of time working on like trade proposals, and I wanted to just say, like, Jared, they're not trading the pick. Like if you
he made me think weird yesterday because he kept implying that the Giants were desperate. The Giants just signed two quarterbacks.
Right. Well, the Giants have a trio of quarterbacks in that room. And you can cut Tommy DeVito, but like...
Tommy Cutlets, baby.
Are you going to cut Russell Wilson or Jameis Winston if you draft a quarterback at 3?
Do you feel represented when you watch Tommy DeVito, Frazier?
A little bit. I think it's a little spiel of like he's going a little overboard with the cutlets thing.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I relate 100% to what he's saying.
His agent is the most Italian. I relate. Italian
lasagna
guy ever.
Is awesome.
It really is. My grandmother's lasagna is just unbeatable.
I had lasagna last night.
Really?
Meatless because it was fried.
Yeah. So the veggie lasagna.
It was just noodle, cheese, sauce.
Well, at that point, just make your own pasta. You know how to make pasta.
I know how to make pasta.
Yeah. We'll have a nice pasta dinner one night. I'll make it for everybody.
There we go. Yeah. Nutrition. But
I'll say this, though.
Better have that pig in there, too.
Oh, it'll be there. We'll make some pancetta. How about that?
There you go.
We'll have some nice, it's like a Roman dish where it's pasta with a little cheese and then add a little bacon bits like the pancetta. Oh, it's black pepper.
Sounds cute.
You're getting me started.
Making me hungry.
All righty.
Well, sounds kind of cute.
Anyways, continuing about the whole Cam Ward situation, I don't know. I think the whole point of the whole Jared overreaction about the Giants wanting, what, 3 first-round picks is what he's saying, something like that?
The Titans have said that they want, or at least the reports are, that the Titans want the equivalent value of 3 first-round picks.
Whew.
That says I love Cam Ward to me.
They're taking Cam Ward.
They're taking Cam Ward.
Here's the only thing that I have a back, like, side door, just, like, hesitation, is that maybe the Titans are trying to pump up his stock to the point where, like, wait a minute. Maybe we keep pumping up his stock, saying we're going to have a private workout, have dinner with him. Like, it all is a part of the plan of, like, yes, this is our guy. We're going to give him the playbook next week. But at the same time, you're thinking, what if they're just doing it to bump up his stock? Like, I'm not buying into Jared's theory of 3 first-round picks from the Giants. I'm not buying into that at all. But what if there's that small slim of chance that this might actually be true?
It would be the world's greatest smokescreen, because that means if the Titans don't take Cam Ward, you're going to head into the season with a quarterback room of Will Levis, Brandon Allen, and Tim Boyle.
Who was a great interview, by the way, if you have not
yes,
heard that interview.
I saw that he was on.
He was on with Chase McJoy. Great guy.
And like, Tim Boyle and Brandon Allen, I think, are fine NFL backups. Neither of them are...
Brandon Allen doesn't have over 1,800 yards passing in his career. He's 32.
You cannot run any of those 3 out as your starting quarterback in week 1.
Oh, my God. So we'd burn the city down.
Unless the Titans... The only way that they can do that is if they come out... If they trade the pick on draft night or whatever it is. It wouldn't be on draft night. But if they trade the pick... And, you know, they take Travis Hunter, Abdul Carter at 3, and then go to the podium and say, we plan to go 1-16 this year, and we will have our first-round pick, which will be at the top of the draft, and we'll have the Giants' first-round pick, which will probably be towards the top of the draft. That's the only way they can do it. If you trade this pick, you might as well go to the podium and say, we are tanking next year.
They will never go out and say they
and
are
not,
tanking.
Well, obviously they wouldn't say it, but like that would be...
Hi, everyone!
That's the message. If you trade that pick and take Travis Hunter, which I think Travis Hunter's a good player, but he would be like the Maserati sitting inside a Shaq with no quarterback.
Why would it sit inside of Shaq?
Inside a Shaq. Have you seen that picture?
Yes.
It's like when Juan Soto was on the Nationals at the end of his time.
It was like
there.
A Bugatti underneath.
Yeah.
I remember seeing that.
They're taking Cam Ward. Like,
what if there's that side door chance of Shedeur Sanders? Because, like, I've listened and watched a bunch of videos and seen reports on Twitter saying that Abdul Carter had dinner the other night after his pro day with the Cleveland Browns. He's mainly the number 2 solidified pick. What if the Browns, because, like, they re-signed Myles Garrett, and that's the only thing that's hesitating my whole thought process here, is that Myles Garrett re-signed with Cleveland because he agreed with the, I guess, viewpoint that they're going in for their direction. Is the direction Abdul Carter that's making him stay for $40-plus million?
Well, and I think Myles Garrett came out and basically said, like, we need a quarterback.
Yeah.
This week.
Like, if you're not going to go get a Cam Ward or a Shedeur Sanders, because obviously if they don't trade their pick, it's definitely going to be Shedeur Sanders, and or they're talking about Abdul Carter now, so I really don't know. That's my thing. I'm confused as to what is the direction of the Browns, because if they go with Abdul Carter, then they're not going to trade their pick, obviously. So then that leaves the Giants. The Giants have 3 quarterbacks, like you're saying. Well,
Kenny Pickett.
I'm just confused. I've now confused myself.
I think Shedeur Sanders is a second-round prospect.
Agreed.
He's going to go in the top 5. Probably the top 3. But I think Shedeur Sanders is a second-round prospect. I think Cam Ward is head and shoulders quarterback 1 in this class.
Can I just say this?
Sure.
Seeing the videos of Brian Callahan and Mike Borgonzi and Chad Brinker loving all over Cam Ward. It's weird.
That's what I'm saying,
it's
man.
It's weird. Like, it's just cringy. Like, I cringe every time I see it because it looks like they're like, I don't know. I get they're trying to recruit him in a sense, but it's just weird.
It's like that one guy on the football team is trying to fit in with a certain position group, and it just doesn't fit in with them. That's what that feels like to me.
It looks like they're trying to get his answers for his homework. Like, it's just weird.
It doesn't feel organic.
They found their guy. They found their guy, and they love him. That is what I have gathered from this offseason, is that they believe Cam Ward is their guy. And whether that ends up being the case, who knows? Like, he could be a bust. But I think the Titans view Cam Ward just as the top three teams last year viewed Williams, Daniels, and
May. Do you think it's fool's gold? You think they're just, well, he's the best quarterback, and we need a quarterback?
Which it could be. They could have talked themselves into it, which is not what you want. But I do think in their heads, at least, whether it's true or not, I think they view him in that same tier of the quarterbacks who went 1-2-3 last year.
Man.
I don't know.
I don't know. I just feel like if Cam Ward were to go in the draft last year, I think he would have been picked behind McCarthy.
No. Cam Ward is at worst quarterback 4 last year, I think.
Yeah. Really?
He's better than J.J. McCarthy.
There's no chance you can watch the film on Cam Ward and J.J. McCarthy and Bo Nix and Michael Penix and not say that Cam Ward's the best. I think Cam Ward, I would probably slot him slightly behind Drake May from last year. Not like a gaping gap. I think they're in the same tier, but I would probably put him right behind Drake May. Drake May is a great quarterback prospect. I think Cam Ward is slightly below him.
Mm. That's fair. I mean, I think we're really going to see what we're going to have to Drake May this year with
right.
Stephon Diggs.
And Drake May, if he was in the draft this year, he would be the first overall pick. So,
yeah, like, hands down.
I think Cam Ward is worthy of the pick, and I think the Titans, they're going to take him.
Yeah.
At this point. If you don't take him, again, you might as well just go to the podium and say, we are going to try and lose as many games as possible this year.
My question is, like, if you bring in a quarterback like Cam Ward as a rookie, you don't sit him then, right?
No, he's playing.
No. If you are the number one pick, you're going in.
All right. Okay.
Again, who's going to start? Are we putting Will Levis back out there?
No, but I mean, I'm cool with putting a Brandon Allen out there. I really am. I just don't see hope in this Titans franchise. That's just me being negative right now. I have to see it to believe it.
Well,
that's just my thing.
Cam,
I'm sorry.
These guys, they're staking their career to Cam Ward. But I think whether you pick him or don't pick him, your career is going to be defined by what Cam Ward
does
because he's going to be the number one pick. Either you're going to take him or you're going to trade it and somebody else is going to take him. Has it ever happened that a team has traded the number one pick when they need a quarterback? Because I can't think of any examples of, hey, this team needs a quarterback. They didn't like X player at the top of the draft, so they traded the pick and let somebody else take him.
Because I don't think that's ever happened.
I don't think it has ever happened.
Because when the Titans traded the first pick the last time, they had Mariota.
Right. Most of the time, that's when you see the first pick gets traded, is a team believes that they have their quarterback. Like the Bears 2 years ago, they still believed in Justin Fields. So they traded the pick. But like last year, let's say Caleb Williams wasn't a generational prospect, and the Bears weren't 100% sure, you would never see them trade with the Patriots. They still would have taken Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
Just because you're staking your career to that guy one way or another. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Cam Ward worked out for the Titans yesterday. Paul Kaharsky reporting that it was a positive development for the Titans at the very least.
I'm sure it was.
They liked it. So looking more and more like Cam Ward will be the first overall pick coming up in Green Bay next month. 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you want to chime in. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll keep talking Titans on the other side. Fours Company, 1025-1063 The Game. Fours Company, 1025-1063 The Game. We're talking Tennessee Titans.
Calcio.
Jake Lyman. Nick Frazier. Connor Newt. Jake Wallman. Talking about Cam Ward. Seems like the Titans are zeroing in on taking the Miami quarterback first overall in the draft. Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. One texter says, Might as well run to the podium and tell everyone you are tanking for next year anyway. Cam Ward or Cam Ward Titans will still be picking at the top of the draft. He's a weak top-end quarterback candidate. I'd rather have Manning at next year's draft anyways. Let's go there because Arch Manning has played, what, 9 games?
Yeah.
If that.
If his name was Arch Smith, would we be touting him as the number one pick in the draft next year? I don't think so.
We don't even know if he's going to leave.
Right. He could come back for another year, like, which would make sense. You're going to get paid millions of dollars to be the quarterback at Texas.
And what if he sucks?
Right. And who else is there? Like, Drew Aller could have come out this year. Garrett Nussmeier could have come out this year. I think those guys are second-round quarterback
Nico
prospects.
Nico Iamaliava, but...
Yeah, Nico. Like, Nico, talent is certainly there, but he didn't show anything last year that made me think he's a first overall pick quarterback. Like, there is nobody coming out next year that I think is cut and dry a better quarterback prospect than Cam Ward.
Right now, nope.
Right, that might change. Like, Joe Burrow heading into his senior season in 2019 was not viewed as a first-round quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, he put up one of the greatest seasons of all time and ended up being the first overall pick. That could happen. But right now, as you look at next year's class and this year's class, I would find it hard to say that there's a quarterback I would take over Cam Ward right now from next year.
Yeah. I don't know. We got to get out of this mentality of, well, let's just fold this year and wait till next year.
You got to take a swing at some point.
Yeah. We're not going to... I mean, I understand you want to replenish your draft capital and all that, but you got the number one overall pick and you like the quarterback, you take the quarterback.
And I think Titans fans have been brainwashed by all of the talk throughout last season and into the offseason of it's a quote-unquote weak quarterback class. Like, that's been the talk since the beginning. And so I think everybody just got in their heads, well, we don't want to take Cam Ward because it's a weak quarterback class. Just watch him play. Go watch Cam Ward play football, and you will see why he's going to be the number one overall pick. I'm not saying that he is Andrew Luck, Trevor Lawrence as a prospect, but there's a reason that he's going to go number one. Just go watch him play football, and I think you'll understand why the Titans are going to make this pick.
It's the fans that always know best, Jake.
That's true. That's why the fans run the organizations.
It's just, I forgot the part where the fans dictate what happens. You don't have to like it, but it's...
Right, and it is funny because it's the same thing. Like, you're going to see Titans fans freak out and be like, why are we taking Cam Ward? We should have taken Abdul Carter. We should have traded back. But when opening day rolls around and he has a good training camp and a good preseason and shows some sparks, there's going to be a lot of Cam Ward jerseys getting sold next year. Just like with Will Levis, the world was burning to the ground when Will Levis got taken 33rd overall by the Titans 2 years ago because they didn't take Hendon Hooker and they spat in the Vols fans' faces.
Yep.
But guess what? When Will Levis drops 4 touchdowns on the Falcons, he's the franchise quarterback, and everybody loves him. So if you don't like Cam Ward now, you're probably going to like him in 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
May I clear the air on something?
Yeah, just go ahead.
I've never said that I don't like Cam Ward or dislike Cam Ward or his ability on the field. Initially, when we had this whole draft conversation way back in January, I was like, give me Abdul Carter. Give me Abdul Carter.
Abdul Carter saying, like, give me Abdul Carter, too.
Yeah. Abdul Carter, I mean, he might be off the board because of his injury, too,
right.
Which is...
And that's what led me to the hesitation of, like, maybe this is not the pick anymore. And that's when I was in Vegas, gave you the rink, gave you all the call, and was like, you know what? Jake Lyman has spoken to me into my dreams. Cam Ward is the answer for this upcoming draft. Abdul Carter's not it. This injury is very hesitant for me to pick him. So I'm like, all right, St. Patrick's Day deadline, give me Cam Ward, I'm all about it. And now, last segment I mentioned that, yeah, maybe, you know, if you go grab a Cam Ward, does he play? Obviously, you guys all are in agreement that he should play. And I said, maybe not. I don't know. I think the Titans, if they don't develop him well, that's the issue I have. If they don't develop Cam Ward well enough to be the number one guy for the franchise in years past, or years future, excuse me, that's where I have the concern.
Here's what's going to happen.
Because if Cam Ward ends up being a really good quarterback, then you start looking at Brian Callahan. why could he not do that with Will Levis? You know what I mean?
Here's what's going to happen. They're going to have a bad year this year.
Right.
They're going to have a scapegoat.
And that's Brian Callahan.
Yeah. Okay. It's what happens with these first overall pick quarterbacks. It seems like every time you take the guy number one overall, you give him the coach, and then fire him after 1 year. Urban Meyer with Trevor Lawrence.
I don't think it's fair, but it's how the league works,
yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
And it's the cycle.
I mean, I hope that Brian Callahan does get a fair shake, but it's all going to come down to whether he can develop Cam Ward.
Which is, in my opinion, a 2 to 3 year process.
Yeah.
You can't just give him 1 year and expect results.
I do want to say, and I said this when TD and I filled in for Jared a couple weeks ago, Titans fans are scared because of Vince Young and Jake Locker and Marcus Mariota.
Got their hearts broken.
But guess what? This is a completely different regime. Just because they messed up Vince Young, just because they messed up Jake Locker, just because Marcus Mariota got hurt and was never the same, doesn't mean the same thing's going to happen with Cam Ward.
Hey, no, here's the thing, though. Thank you for bringing that up. A new regime, same family of ownership. It doesn't matter if you got Joe Schmo as your head coach or Joe Schmo as your general manager. The owner is going to make that final decision no matter what.
Why are you throwing shade at Joe Schmo? What did he do?
Yeah. I'm just saying Joe Schmo. You know, that's the go-to name.
I like Joe Schmo.
It's the alias.
Don't talk to him like that.
Sorry.
There's been a lot of talk about
John you. Smith. Is that better?
John Smith is a South Carolina wide receiver legend in the Newtverse.
In the Newtverse over in college.
But do you get what I'm saying, though? Like, even though there is a new regime,
right.
There's still that.
It's the same old Titans.
Yeah.
But you hope that with an offensive guru coach,
air quotes,
that Brian Callahan can develop Cam Ward into a franchise quarterback. Let's quickly go to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Carl wants to chime in. Carl, good morning. Go ahead.
Good morning, guys. Well, listen. I have three good reasons why if you're number one overall, like if you got that position and you need a quarterback, don't get the quarterback. Don't even play around with it. Number one, you all remember the wide receiver all-time great for Washington, Warren Moon?
Mm. Yes.
So y'all don't remember Warren Moon as a wide receiver. That's because he was a quarterback and people wanted him to be a wide receiver, but he didn't get picked. A lot of teams missed out on that. You remember that bum from Michigan, Tom Brady, that nobody wanted?
That one bum.
That bum, because he didn't look the part. He didn't look the part of the quarterback, so nobody wanted that bum, so he got drafted in the 955th draft. Remember him? Oh, remember Trevor Lawrence? Remember how great, remember all those Super Bowls he won and all the MVPs that he won? Because he really looked the part and he was a can't-miss bust. Absolute, but so here's my thing. Just get the if you need a quarterback, get the guy. Just get if you're in that position and you need one, dude. Just don't overanalyze, don't overthink the thing. Get the guy because you just never know. Warren Moon ended up being one of the all time greats. Them idiots wanted him to be a wide receiver, so he had to go to Canada and spent a few years up there. Do you think there was a few teams? Let's say Pittsburgh Steelers. Do you think that they had wished that they could do that all over again because Terry Bradshaw was on his last legs and they could have got a guy like Warren Moon? Do you think any of those teams, you know, that passed up on Tom Brady was like, geez, I wish we had took a flyer on that guy?
Sure,
I mean,
yeah.
You just never know. Mitchell Trubisky. I mean, he looked the part. If you throw a quarterback in the lab, it would be Mitchell Trubisky.
Yeah,
you know?
No, that's a good point. The Titans, it's throwing darts with quarterbacks no matter what. It's never going to be exact. And thank you for the call, Carl. Good points there that you never know what a guy's going to be, whether he's taken first in the draft or 199th, like Tom Brady. Jeff on our text line says, guys, the number one overall pick in the draft is to be only for a player at whatever position who your organization knows with almost complete certainty that will be a huge success on the playing field, even if it takes a season or so to develop. If the team is not sure, then the first pick should be traded for the best hand of picks in return, period. Jeff, the team needs a quarterback.
Yeah.
Like, you have the number one overall pick in the draft for the first time in a decade. Who knows when you're ever going to have a chance to take the best quarterback in a class?
And what player are you looking at in this draft that you think is a complete certainty?
Right.
Because I can promise you it's not Abdul Carter.
And is Travis Hunter a complete certainty? What he's doing is really impressive. But does it translate to the NFL? We have yet to see that, right? Like, I believe Travis Hunter is going to be a good player, but just because he played a lot of snaps in college and did it well doesn't mean he's going to be an elite cornerback or an elite wide receiver. We will see what happens. Devin and Dixon makes a good point. You know who wouldn't ruin Cam Ward?
Who's that?
Coach Eric Taylor.
Oh, absolutely not.
Eric Taylor would be great. And also an unnamed texter says, if this is last year and Cam Ward had the same season he had this year, then Cam Ward would be a second round. Note that Cam Ward would not be a second round quarterback last year. He's not a generational talent. Look at Cam Ward's numbers from last year. Look at the, did you guys see the chart thing? The little like octo chart that shows.
Those are cool.
His final season at Miami was the exact same almost as Patrick Mahomes' final season at Texas Tech. I'm not saying that he's Patrick Mahomes, but like you can look at Cam Ward and see that he is at the very worst a top 10.
Look at his college in this his class. Collegiate career. Started at Incarnate Word and he's progressed.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you want to see in a prospect, not someone who kind of stays the same like a Trevor Lawrence. Now Trevor Lawrence put up good numbers in college, but did he ever progress?
Yeah.
No, he kind of just
stayed the same.
Yeah. Rode the hot hands.
Wouldn't say flatlined, but he was a consistent.
He was consistent, but there was no growth.
And how much progression has he shown in the NFL? Little to none.
I mean, he signed that fat deal, last offseason?
That's because the Jaguars are scared they're not going to get someone better.
Right. And to your point about Cam Ward and that whole chart, you're right. He has all the intangibles that I wouldn't say Patrick Mahomes has, but has that, I guess, high ceiling.
Right. The could he be a bust? Sure, but I think all the talent is there to be developed into a good quarterback. Again, we will end the conversation on this. If you are saying you don't think Cam Ward is worthy of the first overall pick, please watch him. I'm sure the people who don't want Cam Ward are the ones who haven't gone and watched him.
Mm-hmm.
He was phenomenal last season. I'm not saying that he's Caleb Williams or Andrew Luck or all these guys who are consensus number one picks, but in this draft class, you have the number one pick, you need a quarterback, and he is worthy of that pick. They're going to take him.
Yeah.
Good with that?
Yeah.
Cool.
Hammer,
we've
nail.
Still got one.
Hammer, nail.
We've still got 4 weeks to go, and I'm sure that this will not stop of the people saying we need to trade the pick. Titans are not trading the pick. They are going to take Cam Ward.
We guarantee.
Yes, I'll guarantee it. Cam Ward is going to be the number one pick in the draft, and he will be holding up a Titans blue uniform on draft night, either in Green Bay or wherever he's watching the draft from. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Ran a little bit long there. We'll come back. We'll talk some baseball. Opening weekend in the MLB. Nick Frazier getting ready to roll wearing his Cardinals gear. We'll talk about MLB opening weekend coming up next here on Force Company 1025-1063 The Game. Force Company, 1025-1063, The Game. Extended show today. We are with you till 11:30, so an extra half hour as we lead you into ESPN Radio's coverage of Brewers and Yankees. That is, as it is MLB opening weekend, opening day on Thursday, and lots of great baseball so far. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, Jake Wallman with you on Force Company.
Jeff's mad at you, by the way.
Yes, I know. Jeff is texting on the text line.
Jeff Fisher is mad at you.
We're done talking about Cam Ward, but you need a quarterback to win in the AFC. I will finish with that. Baseball.
Balls of base.
Baseball is back. MLB opening day this week. And for you guys wearing your Cardinals gear, it's been a good start for St. Louis so far.
It's been a good one game.
They didn't play yesterday?
No.
Oh, so they're just 1-0. Yeah, I thought they were 2-0 when you guys were saying like sole possession of.
They're 1-0. They're 1-0, and the only reason they're 1-0 or they're in sole possession is because they're 1-0.
Gotcha.
Second place is 1-1.
The my Tigers are 0-2. It's been a tough couple of games facing the reigning World Series champions.
Had a long season.
Tigers, I mean, they've hung in there with the Dodgers. They lost 5-4 on Thursday. Went 0-for-14 with runners in scoring position.
Mm.
It's like, you just get one base hit, you probably win that game. And then last night, the MLB made the call and said that Manuel Margot was out at the plate.
They had four different camera angles. And they go on to say that he was out?
I didn't see anything that made me think he was out. But also, you scored two runs in the top of the 10th and gave up five runs in the bottom of the inning. So, you know, you just get three outs there, you win the game. So,
can we talk about how if you're going to have replay in a sport like MLB, you got to get it right?
Yeah, and that's what I just didn't understand. You need conclusive evidence to overturn the call. He might have been out, but I didn't see anything conclusive that made me think that he was.
Yeah,
you need solid evidence.
Right.
That's so, in every sport.
But I'll say this about that play. To me, this is my assumption. The MLB officiating that's up in the booth, they saw those four different camera angles, or five, how many ever it was. They took the one that was from the, I think, the Tigers dugout, and it was like basically you couldn't see home plate. But they saw the tag. They saw
gotcha.
The tag on Margot's
see
foot.
When his hand got down.
Right.
Yeah.
But if you're the MLB, you have to use two camera angles and simultaneously match them up. You have the overhead view
right.
and the side
where
angle
you see
view.
The hand hit the plate and you...
The NFL does that. Why can't MLB do that?
Yeah.
It makes no sense. The MLB puts out a new technology on
right.
The StatCast or whatever, where you can see where the batter's feet go, and then someone like subtweet like, why can't the NFL do that for first downs?
Yeah,
there's a tug and pull everywhere you go. You can't.
Right, we have the technology to get these calls right. I'm not saying everything needs to be reviewed, but it makes no sense that they did the challenge system in spring training and then just got rid of it. Like,
that's where I'm going. You probably know more about this than I do. Please tell me we're not going to robo-umps.
It's heading in that direction, but luckily...
They're terrible.
I don't think it's going to be... It will never be full-on robo-umps, but yeah. I think they're going to do the challenge system.
I like the challenge
where
system.
Where you get two. If you get it right, you get to keep your challenge. And...
I mean, we all know we produce the sounds. The challenge system's great.
It works.
Yep. It works.
And there's strategy involved to it because it's like, hey... You don't want to use those challenges early on in the game because what happens if you get rung up strike three in the bottom of the ninth
mm-hmm.
and you don't have a challenge left? I saw with the sounds either last year or 2 years ago, it happened. Monte Harrison, the Arkansas wide receiver, he got rung up to end the game in Norfolk and challenged it. It was a ball, stepped back in, doubled, and tied the game. So mm-hmm. it's yep. like, I think the challenge system would be great.
I like it.
I bet next year is probably when that gets the full...
Yeah. I think this year is for sure a growing pain. And teams like the Milwaukee Brewers, prime example, we were talking about them in the break, they're going to have an advantage this year rather than other teams now because a lot of those guys that are on the Milwaukee team,
yeah,
they've experienced the umpire robo...
Right.
Not robo cops. Robo umps. It's a plus for them.
Yeah, if you're talking sounds, Tyler Black might be one of the best challengers of all time.
Oh, yeah.
It felt like every sounds game last year, if he challenged it, the umpire might as well just be
Peyton
like, yeah,
Henry
I was wrong.
Yeah. Peyton Henry
was good.
He's
at
really
that,
good
too.
At
I can't wait for the challenge system to be instituted for the regular season. I think it worked in spring training. I bet next year we'll get it for the full 162.
This sounds a little low on the number. Don't quote me on it, but I read somewhere, I think it was on Twitter. I follow this account called Umpire Scorecards.
Yeah.
I think they were saying there were 93 missed calls behind the plate. It sounds a little low.
Which, 93, not terrible.
Yeah.
For, God, if there's 15 MLB games, that's like 3,000 pitches. And obviously you're not making a call on every single one of them. Like, if batter swings, pretty obvious. But
yeah. Again, don't quote me on it, but I read that somewhere. I think that's right.
The umpires are good, but it can't hurt to have a backup. Just to make sure that...
I'm old school. I feel like if you take that, you take out the tradition of baseball. I mean, it's a human element having an umpire in. It's kind of subjective sometimes, but I think that's what makes sports fun.
Yeah.
And very frustrating when you have Doug Shales refereeing a game. But
yeah, basketball officiating is a whole different subject and maybe needs a whole other show for all of that.
Yes, it does.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. My Tigers have lost to the Dodgers twice. Is it Dodgers versus the field? We'll talk about that coming up next in our bonus 30 minutes here on Four's Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.